Well, hello and welcome. My name is Gregor Anzomi with EVE University, and today's class is going to be on planetary interaction, or as it's kind of nicknamed and known, the clicky career, because it can be very click intensive. So just to give you a brief outline of what we're going to be doing today in the class, we're going to be starting off with a very brief, what is planetary interaction, what you can do with it, and then we'll be moving into a more practical side of it where we'll kind of be doing a brief and general walkthrough of how to set up your own planetary colony and how to really make some quite nice ISK from planetary interaction. Just to let you guys all know, we will be using the lecture.euni channel in-game for any questions or comments that you have. There will also be time where you guys can ask questions and mumble if you have a mic and would like to do so. So, getting started. Planetary interaction is basically a system within which the player can do mining and manufacturing on the surface of the planets in EVE. Now, every system in the game has planets within it, and on every single planet in the game, you can do planetary interaction, with the exception of 8 planets. There are only 8 planets in the game, and we're going to start off really early with getting into one of the few prizes that I have in this class, with the first person who can tell me what the name of those 8 planets is that you cannot do planetary interaction with. You can put that into lecture.eu. And the first person to say what the name of those planets are gets a nice little Primea, which is a ship that was released with the expansion that released planetary interaction, and is specifically built for planetary interaction, although it's more just a collector ship at the moment. Right, well, while you guys no doubt Google that as to what that planet is called, I am going to move on. So, what can you do with planetary interaction? Well, as I said, planetary interaction basically allows you to interact with the planets. So each planet has different types of resources on the planets, and you, with these resources, you can either mine them or extract them. You can then take these resources and refine them into different products. So there's 4 tiers of products: tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and tier 4. Now, we will be getting into precisely more how you do that later in the practical side of this class. Basically, for now, what you need to know is that when you refine or manufacture these different products, you obviously increase the value of these products, and it is through this increase in value that you can start creating some ISK from it. Now, what you can't do with planetary interaction is, at the moment, you pretty much cannot... Yes, Priscus, you have got it right. Shattered is the only one which you cannot do planetary interaction with, so you will be getting a Primea. I'll contract that to you at the end of the class. Now, as I was saying, pretty much the only thing that you can't do with planetary interaction at the moment, which people have been asking to be done, is that you cannot attack other people's colonies. So what happens with planetary interaction is you set up basically your own little colony on the planet. You do this by dropping what's called a command center onto the planet, and then from this command center you can build other structures such as factories, extractors, storage units, and spaceports, and you basically set up your own little colony to do all this work. Now, planetary interaction is quite nice in that it's a passive form of ISK income, so you do not need to be doing it actively for it to make you ISK. It will make you ISK even when you're offline. All you have to do is, once your products are created, you take them off the planet and you go sell them at your nearest trade hub. Now, the skills needed for this, there is actually no required skill to do planetary interaction. You, your base tune, just to let you guys know, we're in lecture.euni, that is the channel in-game that we are using. Now, as I was saying, your base tune that you get, so your starter tune that you create when you start Eve actually already has the skills to basically do a planetary interaction. That being said, the planetary interaction you can do with those base skills is basically nothing. You can have one command, very basic command center setup, and the best you can really do is just have one extractor up with a few extractor heads on it. If you really want to get into planetary interaction, there are skills that you're going to have to train. Now, you guys probably saw this in the forum post I put up stating about this class, where I asked you guys to train three particular skills, and these skills are command center upgrade, interplanetary consolidation, and remote sensing. Now, in addition to those three skills, you also have planetology, advanced planetology, and yeah, well, there's a few associated skills with that because you have to have to train up those skills. So now to go through each of the skills individually for you, command center upgrades, what that allows you to do is you can upgrade the level at which your command center is. This gives you more power grid and CPU, which allows you to expand your colony bigger, and we'll be getting more into that in the practical aspect. There's remote sensing. What that allows you to do is to set up your colonies, you have to scan the planets because the minerals on the planets are not evenly distributed. There's, in one specific area of the planet, there might be a heightened level or concentration of one specific mineral more so than another. So what remote sensing allows you to do is it allows you to scan this planet and see where those heightened concentrations are in the form of a thermal map that it puts over the planet. Interplanetary consolidation, what this skill allows you to do is it allows you to have another colony up on another planet. So basically with each level of interplanetary consolidation, you get access to another planet. You can, however, not have more than one colony or command center specifically on each planet. So on each planet, you can only have one command center. How's any? No, there are not any slides. I'm sorry. If you do, however, what I will drop into you, drop in there for you quite a nice article on the Eve University Wiki, which details planetary interaction. There it is for you. I'm not running off that, however, at the moment, but that does give you quite a nice, quite nice information on planetary interaction. So, continuing on. So as I said, you can only have one colony per planet, but with interplanetary consolidation, you can have more than one planet, up to a maximum of six planets. Now, planetology and advanced planetology both improve the precision at which you can scan those planets. So it's better. It basically focuses down that thermal map that is put onto a planet and makes it more accurate. Right, so before I move on, are there any other questions? You can either say that now in Rumble or in lecture.eu. Right, so Logic 44 has actually quite nicely led me into the next stage of this class. That is the difference between having a planetary colony or doing PI in different sections of space. So whether in high sec, low sec, null sec, or wormhole space. And the short answer to this is yes, there is actually a very big difference. Big difference comes in two forms. The first form, and this is to everybody in Eve, is that the different planets in either high sec, low sec, null sec, or wormhole space have different amounts of minerals. So now, in high sec, the amount of minerals you have on a planet, and thus the rate at which you will extract those minerals, is less than a planet in low sec, and low sec is less than a planet in null sec, and null sec is less than a planet in worm space. Now, this specific thing is what is relating to on the forum. If you look at Lyra's post, where she said that there is an error on that image up at the top, and yes, there is indeed, which is why I put it there. And that is that in wormhole space specifically, you then have a further distinction in the amount of minerals on planets, depending on what class of wormhole you are in. So class one wormholes have the least amount in wormhole space, which is still more than any planets in Nullsec, Losec, or Highsec. But then going up to C5s and C6 wormholes, they have more than any planet in wormhole space specifically. So that's why on the image you'll see it has the last planet there is a C3, where in actual fact the C3 will have more than any of the Nullsec regions which are on there. So that is the first reason more profitable to do PI in wormhole or Nullsec than because of the amount of minerals you can extract from the planet. The second difference to why it is more profitable to do planetary interaction in specifically here wormhole space or Nullsec as opposed to Highsec and Losec relates specifically to all us unisters that are in class, and that is that the tax rates on POCOs. So now POCO or player-owned customs office is how you get your mineral. It's one of the ways you can get your minerals off. I was going to go into more detail on this during the practical, but I'll do it quickly now. Once you've got your minerals on the planet, you can extract the minerals in one of two ways. You can either launch it straight from your command center and it gets launched up in a cargo container into space, and you then have in your journal a bookmark in your journal. Well, it's not quite a bookmark, but we'll call it that nevertheless. And you can warp to this cargo container, take the stuff out of that cargo container into your cargo hold, and then do with it what you wish. That is one way to do it. However, it is, I believe, more expensive than using. Well, I think it might actually just be less expensive, just, but there you're confined to the space that you can launch within a given time frame. So once you launch your materials using command center, there is a cool down period or a buffer period before you can launch it a second time. The other way of getting the minerals off your planet is, as I said, using a POCO or player-owned customs office. So what you do there is you build another building in your colony called a launch pad, and this launch pad then connects to the POCO, and you can move stuff into the POCO and from the POCO into your ship. When you move to the POCO, though, you are charged a tax rate, and this tax rate is dependent on the corporation which owns the POCO. Most POCOs now are owned by NPCs. This was something that was introduced with Rubicon. Before Rubicon, Highsec POCOs were all NPC. They were held by a corporation called Interbus, which some of you may know. They held all the Highsec POCOs, and it's an NPC corp. Since Rubicon, however, now even Highsec POCOs can be held by player corporations, and this is where it becomes more profitable. Player corporations often set a rather high tax rate on their POCOs, especially in Highsec. You're looking at anywhere between 10 and 15% in Highsec. However, because of how less used Losec, Nullsec, and wormhole space is, the tax rate is generally lower. For unisters, for example, why we can make a little bit more money if you do your planetary interaction in the Nullsec campus or the Worm campus is that our POCOs in those two systems are set for unisters to 2%. So you have a 2% tax rate in the Nullsec and Wormhole campus if you do the planetary interaction in those two campuses, and thus you can make a little bit more money off it that way. So moving on further. Right, so now On the planets, right? So I think what we're actually going to do is, because a lot of this theory that I have is covered when we do the practicals, I think we're now going to move into the practical. So now, unfortunately, I had hoped to have a Twitch feed running, but I live in South Africa, which is a country at the end of the African continent, and my ISP is giving me a few issues, and so I cannot have a Twitch feed at the moment. So we're going to be doing this verbally, sadly, and that is makes it a little bit less, but we should still be able to do it. Just also a warning to the unisters, to do the practical aspect, you are going to have to undock for at least a minute to actually set this up, which means that if there are war targets still camping whatever station you may be in, you might have a problem there. But moving on. So now, to actually start a colony, what you have to first do is you have to buy what's called a command center. So I will link a few command centers for you, if I can get them up. Right, so now each type of planet, of which there are, actually, hold on, I'll make that a prize. The first person who can tell me how many planets there are that we can do, so how many types of planets there are that we can. Ah, logic, nice try, but no, there are not seven, there are eight, actually. Let me double check that before I start giving out prizes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So there are eight planets, which means the first prize goes to not Prickus because he got the Primeir. It's going to go to Hulford. And Hulford, you are going to get five of each command center per planet. So there is one of them. There's the Baron command center, which obviously goes onto the Baron planet. There is then the Gas command center, the Ice command center, Lava command center, Oceanic one, Plasma, and I think there's one more. The Storm. So is that. No, there's one more Storm. Ah, the Temperate. There is. So that is all the command centers. So depending on which planet you wish to do your planetary interaction on, you'll have to have Baron, one, Gas, Ice, Lava, Oceanic, Plasma, Storm, Temperate. That's eight. Sorry, Logic. Don't worry, there's still two more prizes that you guys can win, so you might have a better chance there. So now, you have to have a specific command center to whatever planet you wish to do your planetary interaction on. So, for example, my planetary interaction that I do is all on barren planets, and there's a reason for that we'll get into later in the class. If you wanted to do, for example, my first planetary interaction experiment was on a lava planet, so I had to have a lava command center. So now, another thing, I am going to drop this website in for you. So if you guys open up that website, it is a very nice website for planetary interaction, and I suggest you bookmark it should you want to do more planetary interaction. If you open up that, you'll see that at the top it has all eight types of planets that you can do planetary interaction in. If you hover over those planets, you'll see that it highlights the different types of raw materials which you can extract from those planets. There are some raw materials, for example, if I find one here, there we go. So there are some raw materials like microorganisms which appear on multiple planets. So microorganism or organisms appears on barren, ice, oceanic, and temperate planets. There are, however, some raw materials which only appear on one planet. For example, felsic magma only appears on lava planets. Another one is autotrophs, only appears on temperate planets. And there is a third one. There is a third one, which I can't remember now. Oh, there it is. Reactive gas, which only appears on gas planets. People trying to win prizes, Yossi. So, once you have decided what you want to make, right? And the way you decide this is you go into the markets and you kind of figure out what's going to make you the most money. You then take command center. So, for now, I would say just go with a baron. You can always destroy it later. So if you guys are sitting in Aldrak, there are quite a few, I believe, on the market you can buy. There are about 495,000 ISK, I think, per command center. And so you guys are going to need to buy a command center for whichever planet, and you're then going to need to put it into the hold of a ship. And now they can, I think there are 1,000 meters... there are 1,000 meters cubed, so they are reasonably large. So you're going to need to put it into the hold of the ship, and then this is where the dangerous part comes for the Unistas. You are then going to need to, just if you are a Unista, don't do it now because there's still a little bit before you do. You then need to undock from the station that you are in with that command center in your hold, and you need to be in space somewhere. Yes, the ships, there are specific ships that people use because of the size that planetary interaction involves. The 1,000 meters cube of the command center is actually reasonably small, because when you start dealing with the actual materials, that runs into the tens of thousands sometimes. I mean, I have problems. At the moment, I use an Iteron Mark V to do my planetary interaction. And that has, even that has space limitations with what I do. There's a specific hauling ship, which is used to move planetary interaction materials. And Brandon has jumped the gun, and he's actually going to get one for doing that, though. It's called the Epithal. It is, I believe it used to be the Iteron Mark IV. It's now called the Epithal, and that is a specific transporter to planetary interaction materials. So, Brandon, congratulations, you got the third prize there of an Epithal, and there is a fourth prize, which is another Epithal, which I'll be giving out later. I'm actually undecided on how to give out the fourth Epithal. If you guys interact, I might just decide to give it to whoever really not the Epithal. I thought it was. I'm pretty sure it's the Epithal. Let me check, Brandon, you might not get an Epithal. Got one lying around somewhere. Yes, it is the Epithal. Nice. Sorry, how's that mean? But it is the Epithal. Right, so once you have undocked, the next prize is an epi. The prizes that I have was, it was two epis, one Primea, and all the command centers. And the Primea and the command centers have been given out. It's the only thing left. One of the epis has been given out, so it's only an epi left. Yes, it is. The running joke is that most of the Iteron, or most of the Galenta industrials are space worms. So, once you have decided on what planets you're going to set your colony up on, and once you have bought the specific command center to that planet, you then need to put it into your command hold and you need to undock. Then what you need to do is you need to open up the planet in what is called planet mode. So now there are a few ways that you can do this. One way you can do this is if you click on the system, name, which can be found at the top left of your screen. That then brings up the information for it. And if you go to orbital bodies, you'll see it has all the planets in there. And if you right-click on that, you can see it says view in planet mode. Another way you can do this is if you have on your overview, if you have it set to show planets. So for you listeners, this will be in your PodSaver tab. You can then either right-click it or you can hold it down, so it brings up the radial menu, and you'll then see that on the radial menu it's straight up and it says view in planet mode. The third way of doing this is if you're in space and you right click, let me just check this. If you're in space, you should be able to right click, then go to planets, and it should say there view in planet mode. So let me just check that for you for a second. Yes, it does. So if you right-click in space and then say view in planet mode. And let me just dock up before this war target decides to shoot me. Right. Now, so once you're in space and you've got it in planet view, which I'm just going to bring up for myself quickly here. Right, so once you've got it in planet mode or planet view, you'll then see it will take you to that planet. Now, the first thing you need, and this is where the first skill remote sensing came into play, is you'll see on the left hand, the top left hand side of your screen, there is two buttons there. So one says build and the other says scan. The first thing you need to do is you need to click on scan. Now you'll see it has all the raw materials that you can access on that planet. And it will also have a bar, and that bar shows how much of that raw material there is on that planet. And that is where the big difference between the different classes of space in EVE come into play. Render, I am unsure of whether it will show the scan without it. I don't think it does, though. I think if you don't have remote sensing trained to at least one, it just gives you a blank planet, so you kind of have to set down your colony blind. So what happens now is, depending on what you have decided to make with your colony or colonies, you then need to decide on a material. So you then need whatever material you then decided on. Because of that, you then need to click on that material. So, for example, I am on a barren planet, and I am going to choose carbon compounds, mainly because it has the highest level on the planets I'm looking at. Now you'll see it will bring up that thermal map that I was talking about. Now this thermal map, you'll see, has shades from basically nothing, or I believe it's supposed to be a clear shade with it, that they want to call it or something, CCP with its antics. It then goes through purple, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, and eventually gets to white. Now, obviously, the warmer the color, so the reds and the whites, the more dense the more densely concentrated that material is in that specific region. You can play around with this thermal map and refine it further. So by playing with the sliders at the top there, you'll see that if you move, for example, the second part of that towards the left. So if you, the right-hand side, if you move that towards the left, you'll see it should make your planet whiter because it's basically, there's a technical way for saying this, but I don't want to put it. It makes it basically the color white. It reduces the color white to logic. Why did you undock with all targets around? Anyway, it basically reduces the level at which the color white appears, whereas if you move it the other way, it increases the amount at which the color blue appears, and that's why you can then get the planet to almost look naked if you move it, if you move the left hand side all the way to the right. Haozheng, sadly, I am not streaming. I did go through this at the beginning of the class. I have ISP issues at the moment, which means that I can't stream. I will, however, when I do this class again, and I probably will do this class again, I will, however, then try and have a Twitch stream set up for you. I'm also planning doing a YouTube video on it, and when I do that, I will put it into the stream. Right. So, now that we have this thermal map, what you want to do is you want to look for the areas of highest concentration. Another thing to watch out for, and I know this happens with planets. Okay, there, if you're on a barren planet and you look at microorganisms, you'll see that microorganisms are focused into belts along where, if this was Earth, it would be where the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn are. Now, what you also want to do is, if you're doing materials like that, not all of them are like that, some of them are, you want to then put your command centers in those type of areas. If you're on minerals that don't do this, you just want to put your command center on a hot spot, so where there is the most concentrated. So, to drop your command center, what you do is you go back to the build tab, and you then go to, okay, it's not showing for me, which is why I was rather confused for a second. Let me just change my plans. So you go to the build tab, and you'll see it has there, at the top, it says command centers. So what you want to do is, you're going to remember, so you're going to basically click on this command center. It's obviously only going to have the one option of the command center for that planet. You're going to click on that command, so on the, for example, barren or temperate command center, and you're then going to click where you just need to be in the same solar system as the planet to drop the command center. It doesn't matter where in the solar system, you just have to be in that solar system. So, for example, if you are in, like, for example, wormhole space, you just need to be in your pos. If you're in any of the others, or you can just be anywhere in that system. So, sitting outside a station is fine as well. Sitting in a safe spot is fine. So, you're going to click on that command center, and you're going to click on the area where that hotspot is. And that should then drop the command center down for you. You're then going to come up with a little, an additional little bit there, and it's going to have submit or cancel. It's going to have your power gain, your CPU usage. You're then going to click submit. You're going to learn to hate that submit button when you do planetary interaction, because you, after every single action or creation, every time you create something on your colony, or every time you want to install an extraction program on your colony, you have to click that submit button, otherwise it doesn't happen. And often people will be trying to do something, forget to click that submit button, go away thinking they've done it, get back and realize that they're making no minerals at all. So now you've got your command center down, right? The first thing that you want to do is, if you have the command center upgrades trained, you want to upgrade that, depending on what you're doing with that planet, to the level that you need. If you're unsure at the time what level this is, I generally start off with 1 and work my way up as I need more power grid and CPU, because that's what upgrading the command center does. It increases the amount of power grid or CPU that your command center gives out. So now you've got your command center on the planet, right? The next thing you want to do is you want to set up your spaceport. So what you do then is, again, in the planets, in the build menu, you click on spaceports, and it will then say whatever planet, so barren or temperate or oceanic, launch pad. You're going to click this, and you're going to click down as close as you can to your command center. So as close as you can, it will let you click. It will let you put down that spaceport to the command center. You're going to get that as close as possible. The reason for this is you're going to have to just now fix between everything in your colony. And these links take up further power grid and CPU. And the longer they are, the more power grid and CPU they take up. So now you've got your command center and you've got your spaceport. If you're doing, for example, an extraction planet now, right, you're then going to put down a process, extractor control unit, sorry. So again, you're going to use that heat map again, just find the exact center of that. So you're going to fiddle around with that slider and find as close to the center as you can find of that hotspot. And you're going to place your extractor control unit on that center. If it is right next to your command center, hurrah, means you get to save. If it's a little bit away, then, you know, you're just going to have to create a little bit of a longer link. That's okay for your extractor. So you're then going to place that extractor control unit down, right? So now you've got the command center, the spaceport, and the extractor control unit on your planet. Now what we're going to go do is we're going to go do the first, so now you're going to click submit, sorry. First thing you're going to do now is click submit. So it's now going to actually put that spaceport and that extractor control unit onto your planet. Now we're going to go do the first round of linking. So what you're going to do to link is, there's different systems in the way people link. I generally link from one building on the planet, let's call the buildings, to the next closest one. Some people kind of do it in star with everything going back to the command center. Other people kind of do a combination of the two. The reason I link one building to the next closest building is because it doesn't actually matter, as long as there is a route that the product can travel from one building to the next, even if it has to go through a few buildings, it will get there. And if you have those links as short as possible, as I said earlier, it saves you power grid and CPU. So to actually link, right, the quick way of doing this is you hold down control and you click on the first building. So for now, hold down control and click on your command center. You're then going to release control, and you'll see it has now this line that follows your mouse around. That is the link it's going to create, right? You're then going to click on whatever you want to link it to. So for example, your spaceport. So you're going to click your spaceport without holding control, and it will then create a link between the two of them. You can then do this again by holding down control, clicking the command center again, releasing control, and clicking on your extractor unit. And then we'll create a link between those two. You're then going to click submit, so it actually builds the two links. Right? So now you have created your command center, your spaceport, and your extractor, and you've linked the three of them together. Right? So you now have really the basis of a nice little extractor planet. So now we're going to get onto the part where you actually how to extract those minerals. So what you do to actually extract the minerals is you click the extractor control unit. So you click that extractor control unit, and then you see it brings up another little menu there. So you're going to now click on the button on the left-hand side, which is called Survey for Deposits. So that's going to bring up another little box for you. So now, on that little box, you're going to see on the right-hand side, it has those minerals that are present on the planet. So once again, you're going to click whatever mineral it is that you want to extract, and it's going to bring up that heat map again. So now, on that heat map, what you're going to do is you're going to set up your actual extractor heads. So on the left-hand side of that window that it brought up when you clicked Survey for Deposits, you'll see it has 10 dots. And if you hover over one of those dots, you'll see it says Install. So now what you're going to do is you're going to click install for however many extractor heads you want, bearing in mind that each extractor head you install requires more power grid and CPU. So now I have enough space to do all 10, so I'm going to go and click all 10. So now what you're going to do is you'll see it comes out a nice little star formation there. You're now going to fiddle around with the position of those extractor heads by simply clicking the head on your planet and just moving it around with your mouse. You're now going to fiddle around with that so that those heads and the circle around it, right, are in the area where they're going to extract the most out of the planet. Now, another thing to note before you start moving those heads is you can actually change the time or the program time that you can install. So you actually have to install a program, that's what they call it, on the extractor unit for it to extract. And the way you change the time is at the bottom on the left-hand side of that window, which has your extractor head units. You'll see that says extractor area size. By moving that head, that slider to the right, you increase the time with which that program will operate. And you'll see by increasing that time, increase the circle around those extractor heads. And you can tell the time by on that graph in the middle of that window. On the bottom right of the graph, it says the time. The maximum time you can set that to is 14 days or 2 weeks. And the one thing that's, you know, the problem with setting this is a lot of you are probably thinking, well, you know, that's lovely. I'll just set it to 14 days, go away and come back in another 14 days and do the same thing. And I'm making some nice passive income. The thing is that the shorter the time period on your program, the more you actually extract from the planet. However, the trade-off is the more the, shorter the time, obviously more you have to micromanage your colony. So once you have decided on a time, right, one thing you'll want to keep in mind when setting your time again is that the cycle time, so the actual each cycle of that unit, so you only get the minerals at the end of each cycle, and that cycle time changes depending on how long your program time is. So for example, the shortest you can get that cycle time down to is 15 minutes, and that changes to 30 minutes at, I think it's 24 hours and 15 minutes. 24 hours and 45 minutes is the longest program time you can have with a cycle time of 15. And that cycle time comes into play when you're using processes to process that material. So now you've set the time that you want your program to run in. You've set the position of your heads on the planet, and you're now going to click submit so that it does all that, and you're also going to click install program so that it actually starts running. So what it's going to do now is it's going to actually start pulling those materials out of the ground and putting them straight into your extractor control unit, right? But now there's a problem. Your extractor control unit actually has no space to keep those minerals. So you need to route those minerals from your extractor control unit to your space, to either your command center, a storage facility you set up, or what we're going to do is route it to the space port. So how do you do the routing? Well, again, you're going to click on that extractor control unit, and it's going to bring up that menu where you click survey deposits, right? But this time, instead of clicking survey deposits, you're going to go across to the second button from the right, and it's called routes. It's the one with the three arrows, and you're going to click routes. You'll then see there it has your product, that's your raw material that you are extracting. Right. You're going to click that raw material and then click create route. You're then going to go and click on your spaceport And you'll see it will then say that it's going to route this material to the spaceport, and you say confirm. So now you've routed those minerals that are being extracted to your spaceport. So it's all going to sit in your spaceport. And then if all you're doing is extracting minerals, all you're going to do now is when you have some minerals sitting in that spaceport, you're going to go click on your spaceport. You're going to click on the launch button, which is the first button on the left, a little rocket. And you're then going to it's then going to bring up that menu, which allows you access to the POCO. And you're then going to simply move that stuff out of the launch into the POCO. You can then warp to that specific POCO, which you can find, again, for the users on your Pod Saver tab, for the people who don't have set up an overview setting with that on it, because I actually can't think of another way to get it with except with kicking nuggets in space. So you're then going to, you can then walk to that POCO and take straight out of the POCO into your the cargo hold of your ship. One thing, though, is I was talking earlier about the tax rate. This is where that tax rate comes into play, because when you move the stuff from your spaceport into the POCO, it then taxes you there. So you'll see you'll move it across, it will put it in green on the bottom left-hand side of that window that has the amount of tax you're going to pay, and you then click the button on the right-hand side, which I believe says move. So you then move your stuff, you then move your cargo hold, and you can do with it what you wish. However, just extracting the raw materials doesn't really make you a lot of ISK. So what people do is they further refine that raw material into the tier 1 through tier 4 materials. So how you do that is you click on them. So if you go on your colony, if you click on the build tab again, you then go to processes. And actually, before I get onto this part, I am going to set aside a little time here for any questions and answers that you may have. So if you have a question, put it into lecture.euni, or you can ask it here in Mumble. Rikali has a question there that says, can we learn the tax rate of POCOs before we start a base on the planet? Yes, you can. If you, on your overview, if you have a look at the POCO, you can show info on the POCO. And in the show info menu under attributes, I believe, it says there what the tax rate is. Right, Lirial asks, how do POCOs work in NullSec? I'm not entirely sure what you mean by this. They work the same way whether it's HiSec, LowSec, NullSec, or wormhole space. So basically, corporations can launch them in orbit of the planets. You can buy them off the market. If you have a look at the markets, I think they're around, actually can't remember the price of POCOs. There we go, that will be, no, actually that won't be our fourth prize. But if you have a look in the market, if I remember correctly, there are around 500 more. If someone can have a look at that, I would much appreciate it. So you can launch, the corporation launches those POCOs into space around the orbit, similar to how you would launch a pod. And then you can move stuff between your planet and the POCO, no matter where that is. One thing you can do with POCOs for the Unistas, should already know this if you were online last night, is you can actually attack other corporations' POCOs. So if you're in low-sec, null-sec, or wormhole space, you can obviously attack this without Concord intervention. However, if you're in high sec, you will actually get concorded for trying to attack another corporation's POCO unless you are at war with that corporation. Then you can attack it without concord interference. And RVB went and attacked one of the uni POCOs and put it into what's called reinforcement. So what happens when you get the shields on a POCO down to zero, it goes into reinforced mode. where you cannot do any more damage to that Poco for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, it comes out of reinforced mode and you can then destroy that Poco. And if you want, you can then put up your own Poco in place of it. So that is one thing you have to watch out for in low sec, null sec, and one more space. Right, next question, again by Lirial. Are there some owned Pocos? Can people blow them? Okay, I've covered that. As I said, pretty much 90% of the Pocos in the game, I said this earlier, in the game are owned by corporations, by player-owned corporations. Before the Rubicon patch, all high-sec Pocos were owned by a corporation called Interbus, which is an NPC corporation, but now they can be owned by players. So, for example, EVE University owns all the player-owned customs officers or Pocos in Aldrat and in the Wormhole campus, and I believe all of them in the Nullsec campus as well. Right, so Plainton has brought up a skill there called Customs Code Expertise. That skill does affect every POCO, with the exception of those POCOs which are lying around, which are still NPC-owned. So the NPC-owned ones are set or owned by Insus. And what that does is that reduces the tax rate that you have to pay. The tax rates on player-owned POCOs are also set by the corporation themselves, so it will differ. And you can actually set that tax rates also differ by standing, which is why for you misters, our POCOs in Aldrat, I think, are at 8 or 10%, I can't remember. And for anybody else, I think they're at 10 or 15%. Thing does change depending on your standings towards corporations and what have you. It's 12% in Aldrat for Unistas. Right, the next question is by Rikali, and can more than one person put or attempt to put a base in the same spot of a planet? Yes, they can, and if you actually, in your planet mode, if you right-click, you'll see it brings up a menu there, and the first option on the menu says show other characters' networks, and if you click that, it will actually show other characters' networks, although it is very faded, so it does take a little bit of searching to find those networks. And I can't find any on the planets I'm looking at, because I'm looking at one of the planets in the Wormhole campus, which is where I have all my PI. Because do you have a question?
I'm curious, how long do you reckon the training time to be efficient in planetary interaction comes to?
I'm not sure offhand of the exact time. What I do know, though, is for the ISK you can make out of it, it has the shortest time period per amount of ISK that you can make from it. So it is one of the shortest and easiest things to train up into. I think to get to max skills on everything is probably 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a little bit less. But, you know, training to max skills means that you're rarely doing something heavy. I'll tell you guys towards the end of this class what I do with planetary interaction, and that really, it took me about 2 days to train the skills, and I make at about 4 mil a month at the moment from PI.
Well, you also said something about industrial or transport chips, and those take quite a long time to train up, as far as I know.
No, you can create an out-of-core hauler in 17 hours, so it takes 17 hours really to train into using one of the industrials proficiently. Basically, all you have to do, like, for example, if you're using, which I just use the Galente line of industrial ships, it's around Mark V and people, that takes, literally, I think it takes like 15 minutes just to be able to jump into the ship. I'll chain that to 3, though, so you're looking at about a few hours there, and then whatever skills you need to fit the ship, which are going to be used in other areas as well. Planetin asks, what do you recommend for skills plantology and advanced planetary? I see big differences now I'm using at 4 and 3. The sensing can make a difference. I personally don't have either training because I don't do any extraction. So if you are doing extraction from planets, then, you know, those skills can come in handy. Right, since this seems to be coming up, I'm going to answer Leroy's question, which is, what is the most efficient to farm, bang for your buck wise, or advanced commodities, specialized, etc. Right, so the one thing with planetary interaction is it literally changes from day to day. Depending on what you do, there's a fellow unister that I talked with recently, about planetary interaction called Brie Durazu, something like that, Chris Warren Brie. And he literally has to check every day because he does extraction planning. What he does is he extracts materials and then refines them straight into tier 3. So that's one thing that you can do to make it. What I do, which is a little less market watchy, although it still does involve watching the market quite a bit, and it's a little bit more micromanaging though, is because I live in a wormhole campus and I get to make use of the nice low tax rate that we have in the Wormhole campus, which is 2% for unisters. I bring tier 1 products, and I then manufacture tier 4 products using those tier 1 products, and then I sell those tier 4 products. And I have 3 planets doing that with 2 separate chains going. So basically, I have, because what happens is, when you refine, right, to move on to each tier, you need twice of what you get out of the process of the last one. So, for example, moving from tier 1 to tier 2, you need 40 of the 2 tier 1 products that make the tier 2 product, which you can see quite nicely on that website I put up. If you go back to that WSpace website, if you hover over one of the tier 1 products, so for example, water, you'll see that it is used to produce both coolant, superconductors, and all that stuff, but it comes from aqueous liquids, the one behind it. If you go to biocells, which is a tier 2, you'll see it's made from biofuels and precious metals. So to make biocells, you would need 40 biofuels and 40 precious metals, and that will make 20, is it 20? No, should make 10, I think, biocells. And then you'll then need, if it makes, for example, just say 10, I can't remember if it's 10 or 20 off the top of my head, if it makes 10, for example, you'll then need, if you're on tier 2 to tier 3, so if you want to make gel matrix biopaste, for example, 20 biocells. So you'll need the products from 2 processes that are making biocells to go into one of the processes that is making gel matrix biopaste. So what happens is, because of this, you set up basically production lines to make, for example, like how I'm doing it, to use production lines to go from tier 1 to tier 4, which is, and then I have two production lines running across the three planets, which means that at the end I get two lots of that tier 4 product, and doing that I'm making 400 more a month. If I were to go and train in some planetary consolidations at 5, I would then have access to another 3 planets, so I could then do those same 2 chains on the next 3 planets and make 800 more a month. But I'm rather lazy, so I don't do that. So really, to answer your question on what is the most efficient way to farm and what that, it really changes from day to day. So you need to use that website that I gave you guys. It is brilliant for figuring out what needs to go into what and what comes from where. And you need to figure out what you want to make and then what is most profitable to make, and then go and make that. Right, so Logic asks, are there any rules about which planets you can use in systems? For example, in Alderaan, can anyone use any planets? Do you need permission? Okay, you do not need permission to use any planet. You can go into any area of space and use any planet. However, depending, the tax rate changes depending on your standings to a specific corporation, to the corporation that owns that POGO. So what happens sometimes, and this happens I know in NullSec, right, is, for example, if you were to go into an area of space held by Goon Swarm Alliance, right, and now you, as a Unista, you cannot do PvE in SovNull, so you would not have this problem. But for example, so you go into this area that's owned by Goon Swarm Alliance, and they have all the POGOs around there, right? And you are a member of, for example, if you're a member of Pandemic Legion. Now, Pandemic Legion and Goon Swarm Alliance are at war with each other. So what has most likely happened, although I'm not 100% sure on this one, I do know it does happen sometimes, is that they will set each other to neg 10, obviously, so the standings neg 10, and then they'll set their POCOs, their tax rate, to people, to corporations with standing neg 10 to 100%. I believe the uni does this as well. So if you are, for example, in RDB at the moment, and you were to try and set up planetary interaction in Alderaan while they're camping our system here, they would pay 100% tax rate on the stuff that they were taking out through the POCOs. So they would, in essence, make no money.
I'm curious, how long do you manage your planetary interaction to get that kind of ESK per month?
It depends on your it depends on your kernel, that how much you manage it. Specifically with mine, as you said, with the amount of ISK I get out, I actually probably manage it a little bit more than I should for what I get out of it. But I generally, it takes me 30 minutes to, I'd say about 30 minutes a day that I manage my planet. What I do is I've got a very nice person at the Wormhole campus who hauls the stuff in for me, the products in for me in an orca. So I haul in once a week, really, all the stuff that I need. Because I go through, quite literally, I go through about 30,000 meters cubed of tier 1 material a day in my processes. So I get a nice person in Orca to haul that in for me at the beginning of the week, and then all it takes for me then on each day is basically putting the stuff into my Iteron, flying out to the POCOs, putting the stuff into the POCOs, taking the stuff out the POCOs, and then and moving the stuff. I have to move the stuff from my one planet to the next planet, so moving the stuff and just managing where all the materials are. And that takes about 30 minutes a day for me, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what I actually have to do. Although at the moment, I'm not touching it at all because I'm not in the Wormhole campus for the last few days because of this nice little war with RP. So Manor asks, when you scan a planet, is there any part from planetology and advanced planets that makes the heat map more accurate, since you're from the system? So remote sensing is the third skill that refines your scanning, and I believe it is it only remote sensing that deals with the range? I think actually planetology and advanced planetology also deal with, they just deal with a specific resolution of the planet, whereas remote sensing deals with how far you are from the planet. So at remote sensing 1, it's within the same system, and then with each level, if I remember correctly, it's 5 systems away you can be, up to remote sensing 5, which means that if you're anywhere in the region, so for example, if you're anywhere in Metropolis, you can scan a planet anywhere within Metropolis. Also, if just the one thing to note though, if you already have a colony on the planet, you can scan that planet from anywhere in New Eden. So for example, I can scan my planets in Wormhole campus at the moment, even though I am in Aldrat at the moment. So, Ranga asks, in general, is PI something easy to get started in another universe? So, PI is something that is really easy to get started in. As I said, it's in terms of the skills you have to train for the money that you get out, it's the shortest skill train for the amount of money that you get out. I believe the next short skill train, I think, is exploration. But, exploration is a lot more work that you have to do a day to make the same type of money. So you can pretty easily make 400 million a month out of exploration, but you're going to spend, a few hours a day doing exploration to get that type of money. At least if you're doing high sec and low sec sites, if you're doing exploration in Wormhole and in null sec, you can make a lot of this very quickly, but that's getting sidetracked. I missed the question there by Maxim, which said, can a PI installation be attacked just like a POCO? No, your colony on the planet cannot be attacked. So your colony on the planet is safe. You don't have to worry about it being attacked. Can you trade or contract infrastructure? No, you cannot. If you could, that would open up a whole new interesting market. But at the moment, you can't. Halford, no, I have two planets which have just the basic, what are they called, the basic industrial facilities. I have two planets with those on doing all my tier 1 to tier 2 stuff. I then have my third planet which does my tier 2 to tier 3 and tier 3 to tier 4. The amount of ISK it would take to start a colony depends on what you're building. You're looking here anywhere from 1 million to 3, 4, 5 million, depending on how advanced you get. To start up mine took, to set up the infrastructure and to bring in the materials cost me 50 million ISK. To set it all up, but most of that was just in buying the tier 1 materials, which I needed to make into the tier 4 materials. If you're doing a basic extractor planet, it's It's about 100 mil for the command centers, and then, you know, a few, you know, however many buildings. I think there are a few thousand each. I can't remember how much. I can tell you how much. So then it's like, yeah, 45 million to build an extractor control unit. I think it even charges you a bit. So you're looking at, I'd say, a million to set up a basic to decent planet and more as you start getting more advanced stuff. Do we have any other... Yes, plus the ship. Do we have any other questions on that? Right, so now, just to clarify one thing, because I have actually spoken quite a bit about it already, is we've already spoke you guys through how doing an basic extractor planet, right? If you want to then do the refining of that planet, what you're going to do is you're going to build the different industrial facilities, right? So if you click on processes under that build menu, you'll see it says there advanced, basic, and high-tech production, or industrial or production of facilities. So what you do is if you're going from raw materials to tier one products, you're using a basic industrial facility. So you'll create that basic industrial facility the same way you created the spaceport, for example. You'll link it to the command center. You then have to route the stuff from your spaceport, right, to your industry facility. You're then going to set your schematic up. So you're going to click on the industry facility and you'll see it says there's schematics, and you choose whatever schematic it is, so whatever you want to make from it. And you choose that. I think you might have to do that before you route it anyway, actually. So you've now routed your product in. You then also route your product out the same way you routed the product out of your extractor control head. So that's what you do for that, and it gets more advanced if you're doing tier 2 to tier 3 or tier 1 to tier 2 as well. You're using the advanced industry facility, and if you're doing tier 3 to tier 4, you're using the high-tech production plot. So and that's pretty much all the same. You route the products in and you route the products out. So that's how you make the more advanced stuff. So I have spoken about it a bit, say, you know, because that's what I do. I don't have any extractor control heads. I only have the industry facilities and production plants, and I'm creating my stuff. And that's called a manufacturing planet. So you have an extraction planet and you have a manufacturing planet. Brandon, is PI and LoSec worth it? PI in any sec can be worth it. It's just more worth it depending on whether you're in high sec, low sec, null sec, and wormhole space. The one thing though is just always check your markets and check your numbers, because sometimes something that is profitable today is not profitable tomorrow, no matter what security status you are in, what sec system you are in. Alright, so I've pretty much gone through most of the stuff. Well, I've gone through the stuff that I was going to go through, even some more stuff than I thought I was going to go for. If you have any questions, any last remaining questions, that would be the time to speak up or forever hold your peace. Precus, you're more than welcome to contact me with some information on wormholes. In fact, if you want, I will stay. Wait, you're a uni member. Yeah. what we can do is, after this planet, we can go back onto the private and go into one of the channels, and we can talk a little bit about wormhole space. There is a class every month called Introduction to the Wormhole Campus, which is very interesting to come along with, and we actually bring guys into the Wormhole Campus, and you get to spend a few hours with us in Wormhole Campus, see what we do and all that. So in order to supply two basic factories, yes, you'll need 6,000 per hour, which is shown on that graph. It shows you the amount you're extracting per hour. And then 6,000 for the basic, and then it gets progressively less and less as you go up, till eventually you need 6 of each tier 3 commodity to make one tier 4 commodity. The epithal, I wonder if you're able to put the into the actual commodity sold. You'll see that epithal, the reason it's used for PI is it actually has its own separate cargo hold for planetary commodities. I'm not sure if this commodity includes command centers. If it does, then you would be able to put that in quite easily. If it doesn't, then you're going to have to use either Iteron, or you can even get a destroyer to have that amount of space by fitting cargo expanders to it. And Braden says that it doesn't. Just something for you guys to note. As I said, just to remind you guys, I'm just looking through the frequently asked questions here on that wiki page. You can't have, as I said earlier, you can only have one command center per planet. And another thing to note, right, is if you're, for example, if you're doing it in nullsec or wormhole space, you might want to try and do it cloaked. You can scan, deploy a command center, and manage your colony, and launch the items while cloaked. But you cannot obviously access the POCO while cloaked. That size of the Badger is actually unfit as well. So any of the industrials will be able to do it, even if it's unfit, because they have more than 1,000 meters cubed. However, just to note, in case you might know this, but in case you don't, what actually happens with industrials as well is you fit them out so they have more space. So there are rigs and low slots that you put on which increase the amount of space on the industrials. So, for example, that way you can get an Iteron Mark V with basic skills, I think it's 32,000 meters cubed, and with advanced skills is 37 or 38,000 skills. And then the Amar Industrial, which I can't remember the name of now, have the biggest amount, and that goes up to 40,000. And that is going to be our, that is called a bestower. So a bestower is the biggest one, is the biggest hauler as well. So now I'm sure you guys are wondering, what is that fourth and final prize going to be? And that fourth and final prize, and I've already said the answer during this class, is going to, the answer to what Lyra has actually also put a prize up to. So it's a double prize question, because that is what my original fourth prize was going to be. So I've already said the answer, and the question is, on that image, on this forum post, let me find the forum post for you. So So on this forum post, the one that announced the class, okay, it's going to have to be a different question, because if I remember correctly, Priscus already has a prize, correct, Priscus? Okay, so now I'm going to have to come up on the fly, thanks to Priscus. I'm going to have to come up with another question. Okay, your fourth question is going to be, what is the difference in amount? So if you take the amount of raw materials and tier one materials, what is the difference between the amount of them? So, what is the amount needed of raw materials to do one cycle, basically, of a basic industry plant? So, how much is needed of the raw materials to make, and there we go, Leroy's done it already. So, you need 3,000 of the raw materials to do one cycle of the basic industry and make your thing, but again, Leroy, did you not have a prize already? Well, in that case, you get the last epiphone. So, I'm going to trust you guys here, and I will pick up if you're lying to me, but all those people that won prizes, can you just say what your prize was again? And then Leroy's got the epiphone. Okay. I will contract that to you now. The epiphones and the primers are in Heckbaumer's creation. The command centers are here in Eldrat's Mature Tech School. So just to let you guys know where those will be. This is the end of the class. So thank you all for coming and attending. I hope I didn't bore you guys too much. If you could be very nice and go and put a nice little comment into that thread saying what a wonderful teacher I was and how this was such a brilliant class, and also if you how I can improve and what I can do better, that would be absolutely awesome. So thank you very much for attending this class here on Pads Your Interaction. It was logic if you could then also post a recording of this class onto that forum. It would be much appreciated so that I can move it into the class repository as well. There is a foul chance for product life, I find for you. And then, so guys, while I'm still sitting here, if you have any remaining questions, feel free to ask. Preferably in Mumble if you can, because I'm not watching lecture that much. Or I am watching every now and then, but I'm trying to find the rest of the stuff as well.